This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of shoulder arthrodesis from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. The goal of shoulder arthrodesis is to provide a stable base for the upper extremity, optimizing hand and elbow function. It remains an important treatment option in appropriately selected patients. Indications for shoulder arthrodesis include stabilization of paralytic disorders, which is a testable point, so I'll say it again. Stabilization of paralytic disorders is an indication of shoulder arthrodesis. Other indications include brachial plexus palsy, irreparable deltoid and rotator cuff deficiency with arthropathy, salvage of a failed total shoulder arthroplasty, reconstruction after tumor resection, painful ankylosis after chronic infection, recurrent shoulder instability which has failed previous repair attempts, and paralytic disorders in infancy. Contraindications to shoulder arthrodesis include ipsilateral elbow arthrodesis, contralateral shoulder arthrodesis, lack of functional scapulothoracic motion, trapezius levator scapula or serratus anterior paralysis, Charcot arthropathy during an acute inflammatory stage that has an Eichenholz 0 to 2. Other contraindications include elderly patients and progressive neurologic disease. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. We'll specifically talk about the glenohumeral articulation, where a relatively small amount of surface area exists, allowing for predictable fusion. To increase the available fusion area, decortication of both the glenohumeral articular surface and the articulation between the humeral head and the undersurface of the acromion is performed. Again, to increase the available fusion area, decortication of both the glenohumeral articular surface and the articulation between the humeral head and the undersurface of the acromion is performed. Only the glenoid fossa and base of the coracoid provide sufficient strength for fixation. With respect to presentation, the symptoms are specific to the underlying condition necessitating arthrodesis. However, they will likely have symptomatic dysfunction of the glenohumeral joint. With respect to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP, lateral, and axillary view to assess bone stock available for fusion and deformities. A CT can be used to better evaluate glenoid bone loss, especially in the setting of failed arthroplasty. Other studies to mention include an EMG, which is indicated when the neurologic condition of the scapular muscles is ill-defined. Again, an EMG is indicated when the neurologic condition of the scapular muscles is ill-defined. Now, let's go over the surgical technique of a shoulder arthrodesis in a bit more detail. With respect to the approach, an S-shaped skin incision is made beginning over the scapular spine, traversing anteriorly over the acromion, and extending down the anterolateral aspect of the arm. With respect to fusion position, the goal is to allow patients to reach their mouths for feeding. Think 30 degrees, 30 degrees, 30 degrees. This is a testable point, so I'll say it again. Think 30 degrees, 30 degrees, 30 degrees, which means 20 to 30 degrees of abduction, 20 to 30 degrees of forward flexion, and 20 to 30 degrees of internal rotation. Again, that's 20 to 30 degrees of abduction, 20 to 30 degrees of forward flexion, and 20 to 30 degrees of internal rotation. With respect to the technique of a shoulder arthrodesis, the rotator cuff is resected from the proximal humerus and the biceps tendon is tenodesed. The glenoid and humeral head articular surfaces and the undersurface of the acromion are decorticated. The arm is then placed into the position of fusion, again 30 degrees, 30 degrees, 30 degrees. Next, a 10-hole, 4.5mm pelvic reconstruction plate is contoured along the spines of the scapula, over the acromion, and down the shaft of the humerus. Again, a 10-hole, 4.5mm pelvic reconstruction plate is contoured along the spine of the scapula, over the acromion, and down the shaft of the humerus. Compression screws are placed through the plate across the glenohumeral articular surface into the glenoid fossa, and the plate is anchored to the scapular spine with a screw into the base of the coracoid. With respect to postoperative care, a thermoplastic orthosis is applied the day after surgery and is maintained for 6 weeks. Again, a thermoplastic orthosis is applied the day after surgery and is maintained for 6 weeks. At 6 weeks, you may transition to a sling if there are no radiographic signs of loosening. At 3 months, mobilization exercises and thoracoscapular strengthening are commenced if no radiographic signs of loosening are present. Again, at 3 months, mobilization exercises and thoracoscapular strengthening are commenced if there are no radiographic signs of loosening. The expected recovery period is 6 to 12 months. Some complications to be aware of include infection, non-union, malposition, prominent hardware, and or a humeral shaft fracture. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, Let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, which of the following patients would benefit most from a glenohumeral arthrodesis? And the choices are 1, a 74-year-old man with AVN of the proximal humerus, 2, a 24-year-old woman with recurrent instability after an arthroscopic procedure for multidirectional instability, 3, a 30-year-old laborer with a paralysis of the deltoid and rotator cuff muscles, 4, a 70-year-old patient with removal of an infected primary total shoulder arthroplasty, and 5, a 20-year-old male patient with cladocranial dysostosis. The correct answer to this question is 3, a 30-year-old laborer with a paralysis of the deltoid and rotator cuff muscles. So to quickly review, a glenohumeral arthrodesis would be most beneficial to a patient with a flail shoulder but intact elbow and hand function. This is especially important for a laborer. It will allow the patient to have a stable base upon which to be able to use the hand. The position of the arthrodesis is again 30 degrees, 30 degrees, 30 degrees, and the goal is to position the shoulder so that the hand can reach the patient's mouth for feeding and groin for hygiene. According to Claire et al., the indications include post-traumatic paralysis of the deltoid muscle and rotator cuff, brachial plexus injuries, chronic infection, failed revision arthroplasty, severe refractory instability, and bone deficiency following tumor resection. The review by Safran and Iannotti noted marked improvements in pain and function in appropriately selected patients. Complications include non-union, malposition, pain associated with prominent hardware, and periarticular fractures. And moving on to the final question, a 45-year-old man has paralysis of his deltoid and rotator cuff as a result of a motorcycle injury. His neurologic injury has not improved in the 5 years since the injury, but he does have some use of his hand and wrist. What is the most appropriate treatment? And the choices are 1, levator scapula and rhomboid tendon transfer, 2, total shoulder replacement, 3, reverse total shoulder replacement, 4, shoulder arthrodesis, and 5, latissimus dorsi transfer. The correct answer to this question is 4, shoulder arthrodesis. So a young patient with a flail shoulder but functional use of his hand is a good candidate for glenohumeral arthrodesis. The shoulder needs to be fused in a position of function with mid-abduction and enough forward flexion and internal rotation so that his hand can reach his mouth. A typical arthrodesis position would be roughly 40 degrees of abduction, 35 degrees of forward flexion, and 20 degrees of internal rotation. Ruman et al. Reviewed 43 cases of shoulder arthrodesis performed for indications such as paralysis, osteoarthritis or humeral head necrosis, infection, and persistent shoulder instability. The article has a surgical technique section that states, quote, in relation to the thorax, the following arm positions were selected for arthrodesis. The range is abduction from 20 degrees to 60 degrees, anteversion from 20 degrees to 40 degrees, internal rotation from 0 degrees to 50 degrees, and no external rotation. That's all for this review about shoulder arthrodesis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.